Let's take these in no particular order. Not feeling greatly professorial at the moment. So you've got a question, just rotate among yourselves back and forth as it was requested. Keep it short so more questions can be asked.
I'll go ahead.
Go ahead.
My name is Shelley Benson. I had a question.
Yeah.
One of the issues that have not been discussed in recent discourse is the question of freedom of speech and academic freedom, and what this means, especially in a university system where ideas are supposed to be discussed openly and freely. Would you please add comments to this?
Yeah. I will in summary, but I'll refer you to a document that's central to this institution called the Rules of the Regents of Colorado. Okay? And it says quite specifically in intent and definition section that any faculty member that says anything is explicitly to be protected from political repercussions of what it is they said. That is an impermissible gesture to attempt to suppress political speech in any form under the rubric of the University of Colorado. That's not a guideline. That's a matter of law. Yeah, I've been framed that way, but you need to understand that. That forms the basis of the contract of every faculty member at the institution, tenured or no. You are required to do and permitted to do certain things contractually in accordance with the rules of the region. It's called contract law. It is legally binding. There is no magic line articulated beyond which one steps, and the people who politically disagree with it are empowered to remove you. That is the absolute fundamental bedrock upon which the academic edifice stands. And I have defended people who I considered to be tinging upon Nazi on that basis. And I actually find them useful. They're the perfect foil to my arguments. Let them carry their own case. People need to hear from them in order to form opinions, just like they need to hear from me.
I'm a student, I'm a father of a student.
Thanks.
But I'd like to make a brief statement here. In 1969, I had the honor of sharing the stage with Russell Owens at the University of Minnesota Conference Center with him and the Ojibwe and my Lakota brothers as a Vietnam veteran, as a member of the Vietnam Veterans Against the World. It's rather pathetic that we're sitting here 30 years later talking about another unjustified war. After 4 years, I may or may not disagree with you, sir, but I defend the right for you to say whatever you wish to say through an academic decision.
And that's all you need to do. And in the process of that, we can talk, and in the process of talking, both our minds may change. But if we can't talk, if one or the other of us is prevented, that can't happen.
If there is no dialogue, there is a war.
Professor Forchell, I'm a grad student here on campus, and perhaps you can clear up a question that I have.
Yep.
Is this attack upon you in any way related to the acquittal of you and the other protesters for the protest Columbus Day?
Yeah. Funny I should ask. What do you think?
Well, I believe the city is out to get us anyway, but I'd like to hear what you have to say on the matter, please.
Yeah, I was a target of opportunity. The line run on me right now, this is a weird position to be in. Okay, I don't know what their selection process was, but this is the kickoff, and it's been stated by Newt Gingrich, and it's been stated by David Horowitz, and it's been stated by Joe Scarborough, and for that matter, it's been stated by certain members of the Board of Regents and the governor and the legislature of the state of Colorado. This is the opening round, an intended general purge of divergent ideas of which they do not approve. And it's already happening. It was mentioned that there will be a rally for Adrian Anderson tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people know the nature of what it is that happened with Adrian, but her contract was non-renewed despite the fact there was overwhelming student enthusiasm for what it was she was teaching. She was rated by her peers as well as students as an outstanding teacher, including by the guy who deep-sixed her, who noted in a caveat at the bottom an evaluation that said she is an excellent classroom teacher. She engages the students, compels critical inquiry, and all the rest. Buddy says, I wonder how this information would be received by the son or daughter of one of the upper division management at Coors. Understand the message. If you're going to offend the offenders, you're not to be allowed to talk about it, which means the offenses are not to be interrogated, examined, understood, corrected. That's the object. That's the Republican agenda as they articulate. And frankly, I don't consider these guys to be Republicans. There's an N-word ending in I that I think is more appropriate, but hey, I use that analogy too often. Bill Owens says, I'm not qualified for my job. Excellent scholar that he is, overarching authority in the subject matter. Calls for my job on that. I should resign, he says, or be fired. Well, I'll return the compliment. At least, Bill, learn how the budget works and how to read the Constitution before you purport to speak in behalf of about half the voters of the state of Colorado who voted against you, buddy.
I'm glad I came here tonight. I heard a lot more than I heard in the average sound bites I'm hearing on the radio. I agree with some points. There are other points I disagree with, but I do believe you have a constitutional right to say what you have to say. On the other hand, do you agree that the First Amendment rights for the people who march in the Columbus Day Parade should be taken away? Because that is their freedom of expression as well, and I'm one of those people.
Let me answer the man. No, I don't believe you have a First Amendment right because that bounces off against my Ninth Amendment right. You know what my Ninth Amendment rights are? Do you know what the Ninth Amendment says?
No, sir.
Yeah. Do we have a law professor in here? I think this is a lesson for the law school because I addressed another university auditorium with about this many people in it last week, and I posed the same question to the whole group. Professors, students, townspeople, and all, not a soul, including law professors, could tell me what the damn Ninth Amendment said. Suppose there might be a reason for that?
Does that negate?
Put in the swamp. Oh, you got a hand. Got a
sir,
hand.
Sir, sir. Does that negate the First Amendment?
Come. Wait a minute. Let's get an answer to it. Actually, wrong, me. What it says in very close paraphrase is all rights not otherwise enumerated herein that inherit in the people or retained by them. Okay? You can have a real entertaining time looking at where the nature of those rights is articulated, and it can be rather nebulous and it can be debatable, but I'll tell you one place you can look where it's not debatable at all, and that's in black letter legal articulation. That goes to human rights, particularly the articulation of international human rights that take the form of ratified treaties under Article 6 of the Constitution of the United States. Those are supreme law of the land, and among them are fundamental human dignity, okay, and celebration of the conditions that I was describing as pertaining to Native people as an outcome of the process initiated by Christopher Columbus. Celebrating that guy in any respect at all is a celebration of those conditions. That's a denial of fundamental human dignity. That's a denial of my Ninth Amendment rights, and you don't have a right to do that, and you know it's exactly what you're doing.
And I'd love to debate that issue. And my right to be here as an American, who is every much an American as you are or anybody up on that podium,
I am proud of who I am and my people. You want to debate? We'll set it up. It'll be separate from this forum.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ward, apparently Dustin over here thought it'd be necessary for to send his goonie over here to try to keep me from speaking, but I'm glad he went over here and is letting me speak. Thanks, Dustin.
Speak.
Also, speak. I seem to come down against the technocratic core, as you've called it. Mm-hmm. You've compared them to Little Eichmanns, but not the food service workers, not the janitors and whatnot.
Whoa, speak slower so I can hear you. You got time to frame your question. Don't take too much time, but take enough time that I can understand it.
Yes, sir. You seem to come against the technocratic core. The students here, which are every one of us, we're not training here. We're not studying here to become food service workers or janitors. So are we also little Lakemans?
That's your choice.
Do they have food supervisors in the Lakemans?
That's your choice.
How do we choose not to be a Lakeman? What would they be saying?
You're not to make a statement, you were to pose a question. You posed it, I'll answer it. Okay? When you knowingly accept the collateral effects of business practice as usual projected by the United States into the rest of the planet, and even if you don't agree with it, contribute your expertise, your technical ability, your proficiency to furthering the process of extermination of masses of children for your own personal gain and benefit to fit into the structure without challenging it, you are, in the Hannah Arendt metaphysical sense of Eichmann, Eichmann.